Teresa, did you have a word for us? Don't run away so fast. Just come and share it. Amen.
I've had this word brewing in my heart the whole week. And the Lord was really just speaking to me about His promises over the last 2 weeks. And the one morning, Tuesday morning, I think it was, I was spending some time just reading over the section in Hebrews about His promises. And I just put my Bible down and I just said, oh, thank you, God, that I can just enter into Your courts. And as I said it, I just saw myself step through this doorway into this huge, huge hall. It was a banqueting hall. And as I stepped in, there was this beautiful big table in the center. I just felt the Lord say, come and dine with me. And I stepped toward the table and I sat down and there were these glasses of red wine at the table. I looked at the wine, I looked up above me, and above me there was this huge, beautiful banner. And in beautiful writing it said, my banner over you is love. And I looked at the wine again, and the Lord said to me, as you drink of the new covenant, as you drink of the new wine, as you keep continuing to drink of the new covenant, you will taste and see that the Lord is good. And then as He said that, He walked next to me and He put this beautiful big, like a cloak or a shawl over my shoulders. And in beautiful writing it said, loved by God, God's beloved, underneath, loved by God. And it was a wine red color. But I didn't realize, well, a few days, you know, just thinking about it over the days, I began to get more and more revelation about what the Lord is saying. Oh, well, let me just finish the part of the revision before I explain that. And as He had done that, I just saw my family come and join me as well. And they came and sat at the table as well. And they each had a glass of wine in front of them. And the Lord said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Drink the new wine and taste and see that the Lord is good. And He came and He put a cloak over them as well that also said, loved by God, God's beloved. And there was this music playing, you know that song, I'm my beloved's and He is mine. That song was playing. It was like we were at a wedding, a huge big banquet, and we were just having such an awesome time. And there was just such a sense of God, of joy and God's peace in that place, such a sense of His presence. And the Lord said that as you drink of the new covenant, you continue to feed in the new covenant, you will go out into the world and the world will see that you are loved by God, that you are my beloved. And I just felt like God was just saying, you know, the promises that He's given us in the new covenant, there's so much that He's given us to take hold of. And as we get an understanding and a revelation of what He's actually done for us, as we feed on the new covenant, just continue to read in His word what He's actually done for us, the world will see, and I believe that's for every single one of us as well, as each family in this place, as you drink and you eat of the new covenant, you will get out there and the world will see and know that you are loved by God, that you are God's beloved. And as a few days went by, I said, Lord, that cloak, what color was that? I was thinking purple in my mind, because I've always known, like in dreams and visions, you know, it's normally like a purple cloak, and because that means royalty. And the Lord said, just think about the vision. The cloak is the same color as the wine. And I was like, red wine? Yes, it was a wine red color. Yes. The Lord said, because it's all about the new covenant. Because I kept on thinking it's about the feast and about His banner over me being love and all that. And He said, it's about the new covenant. It's all about the new covenant. And so you see, the thing is, as we drink of it, we will be clothed and robed in that. People will see it. As we continue to take it, we will see. People will see that we are clothed in God's love and we are God's children, His beloved. So be encouraged, guys. Take a hold of God's word and know that every promise is yes and amen to us.
Amen. Thank you, Therese. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Who needs some red wine tonight?
Yeah.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Yes, Lord. All right, we're going to take up the offering and welcome visitors here in this place. If you're visiting with us, just raise your hand. We'd love to see who you are. Welcome to folk. Yeah, welcome you guys. Anybody else, welcome. Mensa kom asseblief. Dankie. We just want to say that on your bulletin there's a little tear-off section at the bottom that if you hand that in at the coffee bar, you can get a free cappuccino. So, you know, use it, don't lose it. Bless you guys. Amen. You ready to take up our offering? Okay. Let's say it together. Father God, thank you for your gospel.
Thank you for your gospel.
Thank you that your gospel is powerful.
Thank you that your gospel is powerful.
Thank you that your gospel changes lives.
Thank you that your gospel changes lives.
Thank you that I can partner with you. In the sharing of this gospel. And through my offering, for your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I lost some words there for a moment, but we emphasize this week after week because we're trying to break an old mindset of, you know, there's a little box at the back and just on your way out, would you please tip us? Imagine going to a restaurant and they leave a box at the back and say, I hope you enjoyed your meal tonight. Just leave a tip now. Can you imagine? But at the same time, for years and years, we had so much of this over-finance teaching in the church. And people wanted to give because something in them, you know, if you respond to the gospel, there's a generosity that comes. But if it's for the sake of protection money, so that the barbarian angels don't come and destroy your crops and wreck your goods and rob, kill and destroy you because you're so scared of the curse that's going to come on you, then you're giving for the wrong reasons. Amen? Then you're giving under an inferior covenant. You're giving under the covenant of blessing and cursing. But we live under a covenant of blessing all the time. So what do new born-again, spirit-filled Christians do? They stop giving. Because I think they're under a better covenant now. Say, well, I'm just led by the Spirit, brother. Now, let's go look at your bank statements and see how often you've been led by the Spirit. Not so funny. Okay. So we're trying to break a mindset of financial giving for the wrong reasons. And the right reason to give is for the gospel. The right reason is to say, by this giving, this church operates, and through this church, we want to see your ministry in your workplace, in your home, wherever God's called you to accelerate. Amen? That comes as you are pastored, taught, in part of a family, together, being trained, etc., etc. But it also means that people have a place to identify with on a Sunday and people come and give their lives to the Lord. Who's here this morning? Wasn't that wonderful? It must have been, I don't know what, 10, 15 people just came with tears. I mean, I stood in the front. My sister-in-law was standing here. I just didn't want to look at her because, you know, when you've got your own family in church, everything's got to be just right. And it always happens when you bring a family member to your church that something funny happens. Is it a baby behind you crying its head off, screaming? Or like when I brought my brother, who's very conservative, in the front row on the side, and we had the ladies with the flags. And he was standing in the front row, and every time the flag came close, I could see he got nervous, and the flag would come. I thought, oh dear Lord, of all the Sundays to bring my brother to church. Have you ever had that experience? So, anyway, I'm waffling on a little bit here tonight. But I really feel like there was a filling that took place in the worship tonight. Did you feel it? The Spirit of the Lord is there as freedom. And in every area of our lives now, there should be a freedom, whether it comes to finances, whether it comes to sharing with people at work. You don't have to live under a guilt-driven, have-to, duty-based Christianity. It's so freeing. It's so liberating. Wow, isn't that a nice sound? Let it rain, Lord. Let our spirits just get soaked in the presence of God. I looked at those faces of people standing up here this morning. There were just so many tears. I didn't know what to do. I just said, okay, church, go home. But I just saw what God was doing here. And my sister-in-law, afterwards we chatted. And just something got a hold of her heart. And so thank you for your partnership in the gospel. That's what I'm trying to say. Every time someone comes into the family, every time someone is born again in this local house, we share in the joy of that. It's not the person who made the altar call. The body shares. I don't know why I'm laboring this tonight, but I just want to... There's a mind shift that needs to take place. Amen. I've been over the last few weeks just trying to get through a series on kind of title vaguely kind of stinking thinking. What I was trying to do is take some of my own personal experiences that have come out of the last 2 years, two and a half years transition of moving out of an inferior covenant into a superior covenant, out of a duty-based blessing and cursing covenant that Hebrews 8 says God found fault with, into the reality of a new covenant devoid from any man-made, man-performing, earning, do good, get good, do bad, get evil mentality. And I've been sitting through making points on just practically how that has influenced my thinking, my paradigm. So that's how the series started. And I started a few weeks back just talking about a few things, and we got a little bit distracted along the way. But good distraction, amen? But something I felt like just kicking off with tonight is the fact that I really want to honor the leaders that I sat under for 20 years, 25 years. Great men of God. That although I make jokes about all the funny things that happened along the way, because it was hysterical. You know, women weren't allowed to shave and wear makeup, and we couldn't clap on Sundays because that was the flesh. So I'm thoroughly born again, love Jesus, and so did these bunch of people. But they all tap their feet until you look at them, then they stop tapping their feet. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's some kind of bondage there. Now, I know not everyone had a background like that. And along the way, there've been a subtle form of legalism that has crept in. And after a while, you know the slow cooked frog? You know how that works? Put a frog in a pot, you turn the temperature up slowly, doesn't even know it's been cooked. So I was a well-cooked Pharisee of note. And didn't know it. And I've spent 2 years now in the scripture trying to detox. And we're on a journey. I mean, we haven't arrived yet. Hello? There's still some of that performance stuff lurking around. Let's not get too smug and think, you know, now we've got this new revelation. No, it was always there. It was just the same old revelation. Just got messed up along the way. Because of mixing up the Mosaic covenant with the new covenant. And I haven't got time to go into all the details. But I kind of stood back from this, tried to apply it to a broad range of things in my own personal life. And we're at about number 10 now. I don't know, I've lost track along the way. Can I start at number 1 again? With my 20 minutes. When something goes wrong in my life, God must be upset about something. This was just kind of like a mindset that starts creeping in, because you live under a thing of, even though the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that God loved us when we were in our worst position, something happens that we find it easy to preach grace to people who are lost and in sin, but the moment they get saved, then there's something in our kind of makeup that says, now you got to shine up, you got to change. You got to improve. Now we should be growing. We should be changing. But it's the way we get there that is the problem. Because if the need to change and get there and to grow up and allow Christ to be formed in us and all that stuff, if it doesn't come from a very solid foundation of who you are in the Spirit, we start slipping into I'm being changed from glory to glory. I mean, we've all used that. I've used it. We've been changed from glory to glory, which creates this picture of there's a bright light, and as you move towards it, you come more and more It's not what the Bible teaches. It's not progressive holiness. He made, by one sacrifice, He made us holy forever through the blood of the new covenant. Now the outworking of that, yes, of course. There's a change of mind as the mind has to catch up with who I really am in my heart, in my spirit. Heart knowledge must become head knowledge. Amen? Not the other way around. It's not my heart catching up to my head. It's my head catching up to my heart. Or my spirit. So we develop this from glory to glory being changed. No, that's actually not what it's saying at all. I love that scripture read, Matt. In fact, let's go there. Should we? You got your Bibles there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Powerful scripture that, man. Wow. Maybe I'll just carry on with my series next week and preach this. Some of you oaks are getting brought back here week after week under false pretenses, eh? Just keep you coming. Coffee's good. But there were two different covenants. There was the old covenant, the new covenant. We've been translated out of one into the other. But let's just go to that passage from verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, wow, there was a ministry that brought death. Who gave us that ministry? God did. It was a ministry to show us that we deserve death. Sin gets its power from the law, and sin resulted in death. So it's a ministry of death, and it was engraved in letters on stone. So it's not just talking about the ceremonial laws and the health regulations and, yo, well, brother, I know I'm not under the law, I'm not under the ceremonial laws of the... No, no, this is talking about the Big Ten. It's talking about the commandments. It's saying that was the ministry of death. The Ten Commandments was the ministry of death. So please, would you take it down off your wall? It's just a reminder of what you couldn't fulfill and what brought death to you. But if you leave it there, put another one above it and say, thank you, Jesus, that you fulfilled all of these. And I am complete in you. And every now and then, I'll look into the mirror of that and say, phew, I'm glad Jesus lived the perfect life. My boast and my confidence is in what Jesus performed and not in what I performed. It was a ministry of death that was engraved in stone. I didn't say that. Sir. Okay. Not so sure. All right. And it came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. Fading though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Now what is this ministry of the Spirit? Is it just talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Well, yes it is. But the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. God is not looking for outward conformity now. He's looking for us to be temples of the Holy Spirit. Who get our direction from the Spirit of God. Who get our joy and our peace and our love from the Spirit of God living in us. But I don't believe it would be wrong to put a small s there either. In fact, the original Greek only had the small s. But we left. If it's talking about the Spirit of God, we always put a capital S out of respect. But it doesn't specifically say of God. You can also put a small s. In other words, this new ministry is that the Spirit of God could come and live inside of you. And that you now live out of a relationship with God that is life. The new you wants to love your Father. If no one has the Spirit of God, he's not a son of God. This adoption that took place was so that God could pour His Spirit into us. We are heirs of this covenant of Abraham and the promises that God would pour out His Spirit on us. This is a better covenant. God's pouring out His Spirit. So when we sing, Holy Spirit come, Holy Spirit come, we're not singing because we don't have the Holy Spirit. We've got to get that clear. Or else we slip into unbelief. Because then, I don't know, what do? After church, we put the Holy Spirit away, come back next week and we sing and He fills us again. Then after church, it's not a come and go relationship anymore. This is an abiding relationship. You say, ja, but in the Bible, even David het gesê, vat nie jou Heilige Gees asseblief. Please, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Even David, the man after God's heart, said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, my friend, that's exactly the point I'm trying to make. David lived under an inferior covenant. Yes, he was a man after God's heart. Yes, he did live by faith. And by his faith, you can imitate. You can imitate David. He was a man of faith. When you see him in faith, imitate him, imitate him. But at the same time, he realized the limitations of his covenant. And in that covenant, he could lose the Spirit of God. It was a frightening thing. But we don't have to play Bible roulette and open our Bibles and put off and go, oh God, don't take your Spirit from me. That's bad Bible study. Just in case you do that. You've got to correctly divide the Word of God. In the first place, it's along covenant lines. And David lived in an inferior covenant. That's why he feared the Spirit to be taken. But the anointing you have received abides in you. And you don't even need people to open up your mind to God's ways. And think, because the Spirit of God is living inside you. Take you and your Bible, put you in a foreign people group, out of touch with everybody else, God can still lead you. And it won't be long before you share the good news with people, and there'll be a group of people around you who want to learn from you. So you'll be a pastor. So if the Spirit's in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, will equip you, will strengthen you, will engage you. But there is a sense when we're singing like this, like we did tonight, Holy Spirit, come, we're saying we want to be conductors. We like lightning rods, you know. Send down your glory, Lord. Rain down upon me. Let the presence of there's like a, you see, the Holy Spirit, although He lives in us, He's not restricted to just being in us. The Holy Spirit is among us as well. This ministry of the Holy Spirit is so much more glorious. I lost my place. Can we go back there? Because I don't know if I'm getting back to this tonight. Thanks, Matt. All right. Verse 9. If the ministry that condemned men came with glory, and it did. I mean, in its time, it was holy and righteous. We're not antinomists. We're not saying the law was bad and, you know, came from a lesser God. We're saying, no, the holy God of Israel gave this law. We love the giving of the law, but for the reason it was given. To keep a nation separate from the other Philistine nations through which the Messiah and the Savior of the world had come, on the basis of which all the previous blood sacrifices would be found their fulfillment. That was the purpose of the law, not to make people righteous. The best it could do was condemn us. If the ministry that condemns us is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Just keep your finger there. Let me read to you a scripture from, I think it's Romans 8, in verse 3. It says, "For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful nature to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in sinful man." You see, the very thing that was condemning you, God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to condemn it. So the very thing that was condemning you can't condemn you anymore. That's what God did. And then we go along and say, well, if I can get this area of my life sorted out, if I can get this right, if I can jump through church hoops, if I can keep the laws of the Bible, then I'm going to find favor with God. Because people are desperate to find favor with God. But we don't find favor with God that way. Only way we find favor with God is in faith in the covenant that He made with us. That's how we find favor with God. And we find it in this new covenant that brings righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's right standing with God. It's be able to stand in His presence without condemnation, without guilt, without inferiority. That's this ministry that it's talking about. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? So how far did we get? You see, living with a mentality like this of when something goes wrong in my car almost creates a paranoia in us. It almost creates I go outside, I got a flat tire. Oh, maybe it was because I only put 20 rand in the offering plate and the Lord said put 40 rand in. No, maybe it's because you rode over a nail on the way into church. But if every time something goes wrong or something happens or there's external signs, you know, if you're people that are always living by signs, things happening, oh, this must mean, and then after a while we feel like we've been picked on all the time. Because whenever something doesn't happen the way we should, we don't get the job we applied for, you know, we get home and the lights have been switched off, or we can start reading into every little thing as if somehow God is trying to get our attention. You know that God doesn't have to get your attention like that. Jesus said, the word I speak will purify you. It's the ministry of the word that he uses to discipline us. Not tragedy, not hardship, not throwing us off the side of a building like I said this morning. I believe God will bring child training in the lives of his children. But he's already told us how he's going to do it. He'll do it through his word. He'll do it as the word is proclaimed and you find out who you are. He'll do it as you're reading scripture and suddenly you say, man, this doesn't line up with the way I've been behaving. The way I've been talking to my wife. The way I've been acting at work. This doesn't line up. And this is the real me. This isn't a new law to tell me, okay, I must try harder. I must make more self-effort. I must try and climb up this ladder of performance. No, this is telling me who I really am, but my mind hasn't caught up with who I really am. And my job as a preacher of the word is to tell you who you are and not to tell you just what to do. This covenant told you what to do, what to do, what to not do, what to do, what to do. And it told you the consequences, blessing and cursing of that. This covenant is a covenant of unmerited favor, which is grace and blessing and favor. And the job of the word now is to put the covenant in the right perspective so that you can find out who you are in your spirit. And when your mind is renewed to that, you will live in the favor and blessing and inheritance that God has for you. That's the ministry of the spirit. That's why it's far more glorious. It's far more wonderful. We get into little religious superstitions. Things have changed in the world. But I know when I first came to this church, we had a couple come and have supper with us one night. And lo and behold, they saw my children playing with little dinosaur toys. And they were very offended. Because dinosaurs endorse the philosophy of evolution, thank you. And by exposing your children to that, it will confuse them because actually there were no dinosaurs. The devil put the bones in the ground to confuse everybody in the world. Okay? And he was like a big shot in his company. I mean, he drove a big flashy Mercedes Benz. I mean, these were like educated people. And I felt so terrible that my children were going to lead themselves into heresy. So we had to get rid of the dinosaur toys. And then, you know, Janet and I were having arguments and, you know, a little bit of stress in our life. And someone helped us see that we had these paintings in our house that were painted by Sarah Moon. And she was a Buddhist, but we never knew about it. So somewhere in the night we were sleeping, Little things would come creeping through the house. Because we'd open the door. Stupid pastor. How to burn those pictures, man. And I'll tell you so many stories like that. All these like little religious. Find out who your great, great, great grandfather was. Because if you can break the curse of his life, you'll be free again. So when you're going through hardship and struggles, you see, we just get into so much superstitious bondage. Jesus said it is finished. Now I live in faith in what He finished. And that's the life I live, the faith by the Son of God. And now I don't have to live in a paranoia. I don't have to always live hyper-analyzing myself, my every thought, my every, why did I really do that? I didn't do that properly. Or, you know, I can just be free. Maybe I've got a flat battery because I left my lights on, my car. Maybe it had nothing to do with Sarah Moon's pictures on my wall. Or my kids playing with dinosaurs. Or, you know, God wants to get your attention. He gets it through the preaching and His Word. Both the living Word to you personally and the proclamation of the Word, the teaching of the Word. That's how God brings correction. And you know what's one of the first things we do when we're not feeling in such a good place with God? We move away from His Word. Because for years and years, the Word made us feel so guilty. It was like getting a whipping. I mean, you know, you got to be like, have less brain cells than a pot plant to want to have to go through that pain again and again. Hit me again, hit me again, hit me again. Muhammad Ali, Herba, you know? I mean, who wants to get beaten up by the same Lord, duty-driven, mixed, toxic waste of mixing up blessings and cursings. Come on, we got to get free. And when we do, we go to the Word and we look in the mirror. And you know what it does? You know who we see staring back? Jesus. And when we see Him, Bible says we've been translated out of one degree of glory into another degree of glory. And as we begin to see His face, and the things of this world will grow slowly dim in the light of His glory and His. And we look in the light of His Word. So maybe I'm not going through all the things tonight, but I want to just leave you with this little snippet before we dismiss. And say that understanding this gospel changes everything. Amen. Let's stand up. I want to ask you tonight, just maybe we can just close our eyes for a moment. And I want to ask you, do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that when you heard the gospel and put your faith in Jesus, your spirit that was once dead has been made alive?